the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, powered by Built Bar. My name is Trevor Sikkema, and with me is Benjamin Solak, joining you guys on a Fan Friday edition of the podcast. I should really be calling it a premium Fan Friday edition of the podcast, because this episode is devoted to those near and dear to our heart, the true allies of the podcast, those who are in the premium Slack channel over at the TDN Premium Slack. Ben, before we explain what exactly we are doing today, how are you, my friend?
Everything is delicious. Trev, thanks for asking. I will say, no time to be wasted on this one. I want to get into Fan Friday.
This is probably the most creative Fan Friday that we've ever done. I mean, Ask Me Anythings can go off the wall and they can get very creative in and of themselves, but in terms of the topic, the specific topic, this one will probably be our favorite show to date. 16 brave souls in the TDN Premium Slack, which if you are not a member of the TDN Premium Slack, you could if you are a TDN Premium member.
But imagine.
You get all kinds of great stuff for being a TDN Premium member. Being in the Slack is one of them, and if you were, you probably could have gotten into this draft. What these 16 individuals did is they did a total redraft of the league. They took every single player and every single coach and threw them into a pool. And they had two separate drafts. They had a player draft, and then they had a coach's draft. And they basically formed their franchise to be as successful as possible. Now, that of course meant sometimes some of these teams had a lot more younger players, and they were building more towards the future. It wasn't just about winning a Super Bowl next year, but other players clearly built themselves to win in the short term, or at least try to contend for championships right away.
Right. I think that this is a common framework for exercises in general in the offseason, right? That which is, okay, if every quarterback wasn't on a team anymore, who'd be your first quarterback if you were trying to win this year? If you were trying to win for the next 5 years, if you're trying to win for the next 10 years, right? Like that's like a very frequent, that's a frequently took paradigm that helps us like calibrate to how we evaluate these players and where we place them in their career arcs and their longevity and their availability and their development, so on and so forth. Usually it's done there and then it stopped. This was literally a wiping of the entire league as we know it, just a resetting of the franchise. There's not 32 teams, there's 24 teams. Everybody's going to get drafted. And that's an extremely, like, you look at all these teams, you're like, they're all so good. Well, because there's eight less teams, but it's also because, like,
but that's what makes it, that's going to make it a lot more fun.
And you also,
you mean there's 16 less teams.
Right. And you get to build it the way that you want to build it. You know what I mean? You get to really, you know, there's no multi-year plan. There's no, and then we'll fix this and then next year the draft. No, I mean, you get to just sculpt this thing in your image. You have an opportunity to get really, really good with it.
Yeah, and it's basically, if you've played Madden before and you've started a franchise and you started off with a franchise draft, that's what we're talking about here. This is what these people did. They did a live fantasy draft with the entire league, but then they threw coaches in there as well. So of the 16 guys, which I want to shout them out right now, Jack, Justin, Luke, Drew, Owen, Zach with a K, because there was also a Zach with just a C, Raul, Nick, Huddle,
Zach
Brandon,
with a K is Zach D.
Michael, Paul, Masher, Tyler, and Matt. You guys are awesome. They came up with this idea. Well, they came up with the initiative to do this idea completely on their own, and we caught wind of it. We wanted to devote an entire podcast to it because it is amazing. They already have all the starters, offense and defense, drafted. They have a depth chart sometimes built out for some of these teams, and then they've also drafted some substitutes as well. So if you want to follow along with us, which we would encourage you to do, there's an article over at the Draft Network highlighting this, and there's a link to a Google Sheet where you can see all of the results. You could see the draft as it happened. You could see the order in which all the quarterbacks were picked. You could see the head coach draft. You could see all of the rosters for each of the owners, the guys who were drafting. So as you are listening to this podcast, go click on the link and follow along, because it's going to be a lot more fun that way. And at the end of the podcast, we're going to go through all 16 teams in detail, rank them, and then claim our champion. Ben, there's a lot to get into. If you're ready to do it, let's get it going.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, this was like it was like a humongous draft. Like they've got backup quarterbacks and like fullbacks, and somebody drafted the specialist, which that was stupid. Nobody should draft the specialist.
You lose points. How dare you? What?
But
punter slander on my own
always.
Pod?
Listen here, we can't always be drafting Robert Aguayo early, brother.
Dude, Braden Mann could beat you up right now.
Sure.
All right, great. Now that we've got that out of the way.
Good talk.
The number one pick in this draft. I'm sure everybody knows what it is. It was Patrick Mahomes. And actually, the first four picks were quarterbacks. Because then we had an Aaron Donald. Nick picked Aaron Donald fifth overall. The way that this order worked is it was a snake draft. So if you picked last in the first round, you obviously picked first in the second round. Anybody who's done fantasy football knows how a snake draft works. There were no trades in this mock. And another stipulation that I saw on the rules page, you couldn't change a player's position, but you can change what side they play on. Like, if they're a left tackle, you can move over to right.
Somebody had
tackle.
AJ Epinesa as a three tech.
I did see that, and there's another move that I actually really liked that's kind of a change in position, but I wasn't going to be the one to police it because I thought it was a dope idea. I'm sure that we're going to get to that at some point in the show. Patrick Mahomes goes number one overall. Lamar Jackson's two, Russell Wilson's three, and then Deshaun Watson's four. Ben, what did you think about the quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4 right there?
So I think that the thing that should immediately jump out to everybody is Lamar going over Russ and even Lamar going over Watson.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like, me personally, if you all things equal, Lamar or Watson, I personally would take Lamar. I know there's those who would take Watson. I think it's a really interesting conversation. But a lot of times those players aren't placed over Russ. Now, in a conversation like this, I want to win for the next 5 years. Well, Wilson's 31, 30? Mm-hmm. So
I think he's 31.
He's 31. So for the next 5 years, you certainly could win with Russ and expect Russ to remain, maybe not in his prime, but at a very high level in his early 30s versus Lamar, a player who's obviously in his young 20s. He's going to be entering his athletic prime, but some would argue he's going to depreciate faster because he's going to garner a lot more hits because of how much he carries the football.
Mm-hmm.
Questionable argument, but we'll leave it there for now. In a situation like this, where you get to build the entire team then around the quarterback, which the guy who drafted Lamar was Michael, and I'm going to tell you right now, Michael had one of my favorite drafts.
Yeah, without a doubt. We're going to get to ranking all of these drafts at the end of the show, just so everybody knows, but we're just kind of overviewing the draft right now.
Right. So not again, so I won't spoil it, but Michael drafted Lamar and what the coaching staff that he had, because they also drafted coaches,
mm-hmm.
and then the offensive weapons that he garnered.
It was amazing.
This offense captained by Lamar is going to be better than offenses captained by Russ and by Deshaun.
Yes.
Because it's built with that pick in mind.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to take Lamar and I'm going to build around him. So tremendous example of, in an exercise like this, we get to build fit from the ground up and we can really take a high-ceiling pick like Lamar and maximize it even over a player like Wilson, a player of Wilson's caliber.
Yeah, Wilson would have been – if I was picking number two overall, it would have been Wilson for me. But that's just because I have seen such a large sample size of what Russell Wilson can do with a variety of different teams. I mean, like, there have been so many different types of teams that I feel like Russell Wilson just has been able to get it done with. I think there's only one year that he's ever not had double-digit wins, and it was a 9-7 season. So Russ has been absolutely incredible. 31 for a quarterback is still, I don't want to say young, but, like, you're in your prime at 31. And so I think that Russ still has plenty left in the tank. He would have been my second overall pick, but it was interesting to see those four go off the board. I said it earlier, Aaron Donald was the first non-quarterback taken. He went fifth overall. Then Ronnie Stanley was sixth overall at left tackle. Ben, what'd you think about Stanley coming off not just as the first left tackle, but at six?
Right, so the question here is, right, like, does Stanley deserve to be the first tackle off the board? Which there's an argument yes, and there's certainly an argument no. I'm very glad he went this early off the board because, firstly, it shows these guys know what they're talking about because Ronnie Stanley is wildly underappreciated in terms of as young offensive tackles in the world go. I think that your conversation goes Ronnie, Laramie, Lane Johnson as probably the three offensive tackles that I would be looking at as,
like, building a franchise around.
Yeah, and I should say Ryan Ramczyk as well. I think Ramczyk, you were about health a little bit. But
Ramczyk went eighth in this draft.
He was right after Stanley. You worry about health, but also, I mean, he was solid, I believe, last season health-wise. Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong. I'm not sure if I'm remembering correctly. But Stanley deserves to be in that conversation. I probably would have defaulted to Lane or Laramie above him.
It's funny because
people not enough people put Stanley in that conversation. I'm very glad that he was in it.
Well, you mentioned Lane Johnson right there. Matt's team, Matt's first four picks of this draft went Ronnie Stanley, Brandon Scherff, Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks.
Listen to me very carefully. A man of wisdom and of high taste. A refined gentleman. Now, when I look at Matt's defensive backfield, do I want to cry? Yes. But
Who's his defensive backfield? Who's his DBs?
So Matt's starting Adoree Jackson. Good.
Okay.
And Chidobe Awuzie. Not good.
Yeah, it's not great.
Gerrion Conley at the nickel.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. I like Gerrion.
Gerrion doesn't play nickel. You know, like, that's a bit of a transition.
Flip him and Chidobe. I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think Mike Hughes is interesting as your nickel. I mean, like, Sidney Jones is his fourth corner. And as a man who looks for a team with Sidney Jones as fourth corner, it's not a good situation to be in. That's, like, the entire 2018 corner class, though, right there. That's all the same group. Jabril Peppers at strong safety, Malik Hooker at free safety, which Peppers and Hooker.
Oh, yeah.
Those are quality names.
Yeah.
Young guys, but like to me, there's not a lot of high caliber starting there. He offensive line was nuts. Brandon Linder is the center. You know what I mean? Like this is, and it's young. You know what I mean? Like Johnson, Scherff, and Stanley is not old, so it's really, really, really well done. Again, I don't want to spoil too much when we go through the teams.
Yeah,
running back is Saquon Barkley.
His team's insane. His team is really good. That's one that I'm definitely looking forward
Matt's
to.
Matt's here to run the football, brother.
He set up the offensive line really well.
And then he's got, okay, we'll get to Matt's team when we get to Matt's team. But Matt's offense is bumping.
I also wanted to point out where Aaron Donald went fifth overall. Chase Young then went seventh. Chase Young was the second defensive player off the board, and he goes seven overall. That is really, really high praise. And I mean, Chase Young got a lot of really big grades from a lot of draft nicks out there and people who were just studying the NFL draft. Ben, I know that you and I obviously both love Chase Young. We've both seen what he can do. We both think that he's a game wrecker. But getting drafted to a league in a complete franchise rebuild like this, seven overall, after some real good, or in front of some really good young defensive players that are already in the league, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
He's going to be good, but I wouldn't have picked him this high.
Yeah. The thing is that you say he's going to be good, and like Barkevious Mingo was going to be good. Deion Jordan was going to be good.
Okay.
Now, yes, I know what you're going to say.
Okay.
I know what you're going to say, but I'm saying that all of the players that get drafted super early in the first round are going to be good.
Hey, remember that time that Barkevious Mingo and Sam Montgomery had a draft bet of who would get drafted higher, and then Barkevious Mingo went in the first round, and then Sam Montgomery went in the fifth?
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I heard that story on draft weekend, or right after draft weekend when they got drafted, and I believe that it's true.
That's actually really nuts.
Nobody's told me it's not yet, so I'm going to continue to believe it's true.
Anyway,
can't wait to get called out.
But I know that Nick Bosa translated.
Right.
I know that Myles Garrett translated.
Right.
I know. Like, so even if you want to go, like, you know, like, all right, it's super important to me that I go young here. I get it. Like, Bosa is 22. He's a year older than Chase Young. And, like, these guys really try to prioritize age. And emphasize that age is part of the grading process.
Right.
But the thing is, the first qualification has to be as a player good. And I know Bose is good. I think Young is good. But I know Bose is good.
Right.
I know Watt's good. I know Garrett's good.
Right.
I have that proven given their product so far in the league. And so I'm inclined to go for those players because that's a solid commodity.
It's crazy because, hold on, 16, 15, 14, 13. All right, Owen
12, 11.
Picked 13th. And he got Joey Bosa, who went one pick after Nick Bosa. But then Owen also got Myles Garrett. So in his first two picks, he picked Joey Bosa and then Myles Garrett.
Owen's defensive front seven slaps.
Naughty. Yes. It's crazy.
I will say, Owen's not my favorite draft in the world. He's the guy who snuck AJ Epinesa in as the three tech, which I find extremely questionable.
Big shout out, because that's what I do in real life. I would have AJ Epinesa on the two peanut butter sandwiches before bed diet.
Yeah, and Shaka Tony, baby.
And you are playing three tech. You're playing three tech.
Right. I will like, and the thing is, when I went through, I really tried to look at key positions where I felt like the difference between the best group and the worst group mattered a lot more. Linebacker was not one of those spots, but Owen's got KJ Wright, Fred Warner, and CJ Mosley.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you right now.
That was
Christian McCaffrey would have two catches on 9 targets for 6 yards. Like, this is a coverage group that you wouldn't believe. Mosley in the middle is a lot of fun.
That was one of the drafts where I looked at it, and obviously you got to bring positional importance into the equation. And I'm not that big on linebacker. Like if you have an elite linebacker, like if you have a Fred Warner, if you have a Darius Leonard, if you have somebody like that, you know, Bobby Wagner, Lavonte David, those guys are elite, but I don't know how much they do for like the overall game plan if you're building a team. And so I looked at some of these linebacker groups and I was like, oh man, they're really good, but do I care? And then a couple of them were so overloaded with good linebackers. I'm like, damn it, I have to care. Like, I have to care about how good this is.
Can we talk? I want to talk about the craziest pick in the first round.
All right, let's hear it. What is it?
It belongs to a young man named Jack.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Jack, who is orchestrator of this Google Sheet, shout out.
Yeah. Big ups, Jack. Jack, I would like to open by saying I respect the chutzpah on this one. It's got some spice. It's going with some zest. But we cannot be drafting Joe Burrow in the first round when quarterbacks remaining on the board include Carson Wentz, include...
You can go a long time on this list, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, like, and the thing is, like, also drafted in front of Carson was Tua, which I don't get at all.
Nah, people are out on Carson Wentz.
Right, but then, like, even if we're saying, okay, it's critical that we get young players in to develop, I think I'd be taking Darnold before I'd be taking... not sure about that one. I'd be taking Stafford before Burrow for sure. I'd be taking Matt Ryan, who like didn't get taken in this at all, before Burrow for sure.
Matt Ryan did not get taken. Yeah. Nobody's taking Matt Ryan.
So I'd take Stafford. I would take Ryan for sure. I'm probably taking Goff. I'm taking Newton definitely.
I'm not
taking Kirk
Goff.
Cousins definitely.
I'm not taking Goff.
I mean, but like, it's just, I think that like Burrow, who was the first overall pick, deserved to be the first overall pick, was one of the best quarterback prospects to come out in the last couple of years, is extremely exciting.
Mm-hmm.
In this sort of an exercise, you're putting a rookie quarterback in an offense, you're consigning yourself to multiple years of not being able to compete, right? He's just not going to be able to be good enough soon enough. And that's the tricky thing for me, is I think that especially a quarterback, Burrow and Tua went so early here. And then, like, you get Justin Herbert, like, 500 picks later, whatever it was. And to me, it's just like, I have the same amount of NFL information about all three of those players.
I think that it's interesting because if he doesn't snag a guy like Burrow, I think half the league at this point already had a quarterback, but then there's another half that you would have to wait. If you don't take Burrow at 16 or 17 in the snake, you're going to have to deal with just kind of like whatever quarterback is left after that, which will probably be a veteran. And you can tell that Jack wanted to build his team relatively young from the core because of who he has as his head coach. And that is Sean McVay. So he gets to pair Joe Burrow with Sean McVay. And now all of a sudden, like, I get it. Like, I get where he's going. I get what he's building towards. And so he also drafted Michael Thomas immediately after that on the turn. It was Joe Burrow and then Michael Thomas.
Which is fun. I probably would have adhered to the Drew strategy, the Masher strategy, which was take a quarterback at the absolute last pick. Drew took Tom Brady as his last pick in this draft. Right? Is he set for 5 years? No. But is his team ready to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So one of the questions, and we had Some of the 16 guys in this ask us some questions that we could run over. Asked me where was the Shaq Barrett one? Okay, it was Owen. He said, "Do you guys think that Shaq Barrett was worth the 20th overall pick? Players still on the board at the same position include the Watt brothers, Khalil Mack, Danielle Hunter, I believe Cam Jordan, and then Yannick Ngakoue." No. No,
I mean, again, respect. No,
Shaq went way early for me. Way early. I love Shaq, but you gotta realize that when Shaq had his 9 sacks in the first 4 games of the season last year.
Thank you, Daniel Jones.
No one knew, like, who Shaq Barrett was. Like, there was not even a sniff of a double team on this guy, really. And then defenses started to adjust, and he really couldn't handle when he was the emphasized part of the game plan in the middle of the season. Now, he kind of brought it along and got sacks near the end of the year, so that was good to see for Shaq. But in terms of, like, a total league rebuild, I understand that Shaq is still relatively young, but the players that he was selected before are nuts. Like, I'm not with this at all.
Yeah, Barrett had 19.5 sacks last year. The best sack season he had before that was, like, what, 5?
I mean, he didn't start. He'd never started. Right.
Which, like, obviously, you're not going to take that away from him.
5.
He's on the franchise tag. He's hopefully going to have another productive season. He's hopefully going to have many productive seasons. I've got 7 sacks, 13 sacks, and 14.5 sacks over the last 3 years for TJ Watt, and that's with an insane production on the ball as well in terms of pass breakups. I've got 7, 13.5, and then 10 on an abbreviated season for Myles Garrett. You know what I mean? Like, I got players who are, I can put it in the bank, I'm getting 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's, right, and it's just like, I cannot do that with Barrett yet. So it goes back to what it is with the rookies.
Right.
It's degrees of certainty for me. Like, especially, like, I'm willing to throw as many darts as you want once we get into round, like, 9 of this sort of an exercise. In the early rounds, give me players I know they're going to be cornerstones. And then if I need to make changes later, which, like, I don't know how free agency works in this universe, but if I need to make changes later, I'll make changes later.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you know, I'm oriented on certainty with my early picks. I need to know that I've got contributors.
I'm with you here. We're gonna get to some of the selections, but I think we're going to do so when we talk about the teams a lot more. I want to go into the coaches' draft before we start to get into some of the questions and then get into the team rankings. So head over to, go to the coaches tab. Which coaching staff really piques your interest here?
Huddle took all college quarterback or college coaches. I think that's amazing. just like complete. Huddle's general approach was totally balls to the wall, right? Firstly, he drafted absolutely nobody over the age of 27. Extraordinary.
No need.
The effort that takes. The oldest dude on this guy's roster is Jadeveon Clowney, who has not yet signed his second contract or whatever. Like, it's unbelievable. He's got Baker, he's got Mixon, and he has, as his head coach, Lincoln Riley.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has Mike Gundy as the offensive coordinator for Lincoln Riley, which is like a cat offensive coordinating for a dog. And then, much love to my boy Jim Leonard, who's the defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, who is the dream defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, for one Ben Solak. Huddle is here to build a dynasty starting in the year 2025.
Boomer, baby. Boomer Sooner.
It's awesome. Dude, and then the receiver room is Amari McLaurin, Brandon Cooks,
yeah,
which is just unbelievable amounts of vertical speed for an air raid style offense. Is this offensive line going to be good? No. He has Andrew Thomas, 2020 NFL draft prospect, Juwan Taylor, a 2019 NFL draft prospect, as his tackles. At guards, he has Cody Ford, 2019, and Elkton Jenkins, 2019. And then at center, he has James Daniels, 2018. His offensive line is just all guys who have at max 1 year of starting. I think James Daniels was on the bench for the first year. Maybe
now,
he rotated.
The order switched up a little bit. The order in which everybody picked head coaches was different from the order in which they selected players. So Zach actually had the first pick of the coach draft. He took Andy Reid. Masher took Kyle Shanahan. There we go. I almost spoonerized myself. Took Shanahan second, and then Huddle took Lincoln Riley third. Like, Lincoln Riley was the third coach picked in
Lincoln
this
Riley
draft.
Went above Sean Payton, John Harbaugh, Bill Belichick, Doug Peterson.
Sean
McVay. Again, Huddle is not here to mess around. Huddle had a plan, and he stuck to the plan.
Truly, truly is not here to mess around. I think Paul's team is really funny because he has Vic Fangio, who's like hella old, as his head coach, but then Joe Brady and Chris Richard as his offensive and defensive coordinators, who I feel like just have a bunch of youthful energy to them. So that's a funny combination to me. Mike Vrabel,
Fangio with Richard, I struggle with because that's different coverages that they're going to look to do. I was interested. Like, when I saw that, I was like, there's going to be some fights in that defensive planning room, because Fangio is willing to go split field cover two, and Richard's like, if this is not cover three, it doesn't work.
Drew has Mike Vrabel and Wade Phillips on the same coaching staff.
Yes, with Chris Peterson. It's very grumpy people. Nobody's happy to be there. It's not like Vrabel and Peterson aren't so much grumpy as they are just like, you know what I mean?
There's what do you think the interview process is for Mike Vrabel? Would you cut off your dick to win a title?
Yes or no? Answer the question.
Yeah, answer the question. Thing. Yeah, it should be real simple.
Michael, who again I said, this is going to be a pro Michael side of the podcast.
He killed it because.
Bill Belichick ninth in a draft of coaches. Any draft of coaches that does not have Bill Belichick going first is out of its mind.
And may we remind people, all right, say the rest of the coaching staff. Mention who the rest of the coaching staff is.
His offensive coordinator is Cliff Kingsbury.
Uh-huh.
And his defensive coordinator is Brian Flores.
Uh-huh.
Which,
yeah.
If you have any concern about Belichick, like, retiring early or something, these are two of the most promising young head coaches in the NFL.
Yeah.
So the only worry that you might have had with Belichick, which should not have pushed him down to 9, let alone 2, would be, oh, he's 68. He's going to retire in 5 years. Flores.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you what Michael's roster is and what guys like Bill Belichick, Cliff Kingsbury, and Brian Flores are going to do with it. Okay,
you can't do this. This is my guy.
Listen, I'm going over it. What do you mean? You can read it off if you want.
I don't have ownership here.
Read it off. This is the part of the podcast. I can't wait any longer. This draft's incredible.
Michael and the Bill Belichick led roster. I have Lamar Jackson throwing the football to Henry Ruggs, Will Fuller, Hollywood Brown, and Travis Kelce.
And Rob Gronkowski.
Fast roster!
And then John Ross is a backup, by the way.
Yes, which, you know, sure, why not? Dart throw.
Of course.
The offensive line is your space of concern here, because there had to be a concession made somewhere. Belichick's always had great offensive line. He's always developed well, but the line that was Skarnecchia. Jonah Williams, we've never seen him play. Tristan Wirfs, we've never seen him play. David Andrews, who's a college tackle that's transitioning into guard for the Rams. Lloyd Cushenberry, we've never seen him play. And then Mitchell Schwartz, who's got a lot on his hands in terms of teaching these guys. And then behind Mitchell Schwartz, he drafted Caleb McGarry, who clearly is going to be the starter when Schwartz is gone. With that off to the side, in the backfield with Lamar is Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
A.J. Dillon.
Thick.
You got fullback and Anthony Sherman, and Cam Newton's backing up Lamar.
Cam Newton is backing up Lamar.
We are running the wishbone, fellas. Okay. And then what's crazy is, like, I looked at that offense and I was like, I respect it. This is great. I wonder what sacrifices he had to make on defense. Firstly, they let him get the whole Patriots secondary, which is a problem.
He's hilarious, so, man.
He has Jackson.
No. How are you going to name off the secondary without first naming the defensive line?
Because I'm going coverage down. Trevor, I'm building up to it.
Okay, whatever. You're doing it wrong. But go ahead.
Thank you. So he has Dont'a Hightower, Juwan Bentley, Jamie Collins at linebacker, along with Matt Milano, who's like a Kyle Van Noy replacement. He's not as good as Kyle Van Noy.
Andrew
sure
Tranquil and Blake Cashman as the backups.
Right.
Big
so, like. So firstly, he can put out literally the four top recent Patriot linebackers, which is great. He has, instead of Stephon Gilmore, who went, you know, where you couldn't go get him, he took Jeff Okuda, which, okay, you're hoping Okuda really develops. So you have J.C. Jackson and Jonathan Jones, who were effectually corner two and three when McCourty went down last year. Jonathan Jones, one of the best nickels in the game right now. You have Daron Harmon as a backup safety to Antoine Winfield and Jakeski Tartt. Safety's not great with Taylor Rapp. I don't know why he didn't draft Patrick Chung. Chung was not drafted. I would have got Chung on this team right away. But so the secondary is a bunch of Patriot guys. The linebacker's a bunch of Patriot guys. And then in the defensive front,
my God,
Khalil Mack and Brian Burns opposite one another, which is
nutty.
Arousing, to be very frank.
It's insane.
Defensive tackle, Deron Payne. That's my Danny Shelton. Quinnen Williams. Can we make something out of Quinnen? If you're going to ask me what the problem is on defense right now, it's okay. we obviously don't know what Okuda is going to develop into. Maybe we're going to be thirsting for a corner one here. He also has AJ Terrell, Joan Williams. But it's also, am I getting pass rush out of Quinnen? Because obviously Quinnen had a really weird rookie season. But offensively, the speed on this team is bananas. And then defensively, with Belichick and Flores, he just sniped Patriot defenders. And oh, shoot, this looks like an actual Patriot defense. And coordinated by actual Patriot defensive coordinators. So I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, and by the way, behind those defensive guys are Vic Beasley, okay. Maurice Hurst, there we go. Lecky Fotu behind Deron Payne, all right. And then John Grenard backing up Brian Burns. Like, Michael, my man, you did it right. You did it right. Okay. All of this talk about drafting is making me jealous because now I'm jonesing to get a draft in. So, Ben, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm going to tell you to go to BuiltBar.com, and we're about to draft Built Bars. We're about to have our
this
own
Fan
draft.
Friday is unlike any Fan Friday that is ever Fan Friday.
But we're going to draft Built Bars. We'll draft five of them. Does that sound good?
Okay. Sounds good to me.
All right, I get the first pick because it's my own podcast. I'm picking peanut butter. What's up?
Mm! Oh, mint brownie delight. Chilling.
German chocolate cake.
Is it snaking?
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Double chocolate.
Fart. German chocolate cake.
That snake draft, boy.
German chocolate cake, and then I'm going raspberry chocolate cream.
No, you're not. You're going to take something else.
No, it's what I did.
Are you sure?
Yeah, the card's in.
I'm confused. I don't understand why you would take raspberry chocolate cream.
Because it's good.
Fake. All right. Peanut butter brownie.
Okay.
And I had the banana nut bread today. It was pretty good.
Okay. Wait, did you pick? Are you picking that one or no?
Yes. So I've got that was my snake. I have peanut butter brownie and then banana nut bread.
Okay, and then you're done, right?
No, I've got four.
Okay, toffee almond because Jeff said that it was good with coffee, and I really want to try that one, and I haven't tried it yet. And then mint brownie delight.
All right, and then I'll take double chocolate mousse, which is basically like the double chocolate one, but a little bit lighter, so I don't like it as much.
I
but
feel like that's cheating. Look, this cheating.
It sucks to suck, boy.
Dude, it's crazy that we just had that spontaneous draft right there and you somehow still lost. I still got the better team. It's wild.
Yeah, I've noticed the thing about our spontaneous drafts. I always lose.
It's crazy. I've never lost it. I've never lost it. Guys, no matter what flavor it is, though, you know the Built Bar is always going to deliver. They got 7 times less carbs and sugars, but all the protein you could possibly want. You could enjoy them after breakfast. For breakfast, between lunch and dinner, before and after a workout, whenever you want, Built Bar's got you. If you guys head over to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get $10 off your first box. There's all the flavors that Ben and I just drafted, and then even more, because we only drafted 10, and by my count, there's 15 flavors. So we got even more flavors on the site. Head over to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and get yourself $10 off. There's a couple more questions, but they really get into how these rosters were built. So, do you want to get to the ranking of these? I think we can answer some of the questions as we go through the rosters and rank them before we get out of here.
Yes, hey, I want to hear. I've alluded a lot to my rankings. I want to hear yours.
We're going to go bottom up. We're going to go from the bottom up. All right. And I just want to say that I'm not trying to hate too hard on anybody because I could see the vision for them. But when you've only got 16 teams.
He thinks you did really bad.
I think you did really bad. Brandon and Josiah, I'm sorry, but you guys were my 16th draft. You were my 16th ranking. I thought it was a super young team, as you guys kind of stated there. It has a strong offensive line, but I just didn't love the defense. We went over this a little bit. Tre'Davious White, Desmond Trufant, Grant Delpit, Adrian Amos, Von Bell. Like, I like some of these players, but I'm not seeing the mix. Raekwon McMillan, even on the team, is kind of weird for me. Patrick Queen starting at the Sam. These are super young guys at the linebacker position. Justin Coleman at the nickel. I like that, but I really just I was not that big of a fan of this draft.
My least favorite one is Nick because he drafted Wentz and Foles onto the same team.
Oh, now we get to talk about that. Nah, Nick also brought that up.
Yeah, so the few drafts that I have, I kind of tiered mine. I didn't necessarily go into completely ordinal rankings. Nick is one of my lower ones. I also have Matt as one.
Matt. Why don't we do it like this? I will go down my rankings because I have them 1 to 16, and then you tell me where they were in yours, and we'll be able to kind of cross-reference that way.
That makes a lot of sense. Go through your guys.
Okay, so Brandon and Josiah were 16. Where were they on yours?
Brandon and Josiah were, for me, middle of the pack. They were third. I have four tiers. They were third in the third tier.
Okay. All right. 15 for me was Drew's. The first note that I have for his is Brady, who he got at the very end of the draft. He was able to get Tom Brady at the very end of the draft. Young guys all around Tom Brady, which doesn't exactly line up to the window, right? I mean, I think that it's a young offensive line. I think Allen Robinson and DJ Chark are there, but Noah Fant's a tight end. You're hoping that he's going to be a big option. Cam Akers is a rookie running back. It just doesn't seem to line up with Brady. Like, I understand the thought process that Brady's going to be able to mentor the rest of the offense, but by the time I feel like those guys would be in championship shape, Brady's probably going to, like, he's going to be done. Like, it's going to be 2-3 years down the road before you get to the peak of what you're going to do. Defensive line is nice. Jeffrey Simmons, Josh Allen, Michael Pierce, and Carl Lawson. And then the secondary is pretty lethal. I mean, it's got Jalen Ramsey, Derwin James, Ronnie Harrison, Kevin Byard, and Carlton Davis. So, skeptical about the offense. I like the defense, though. 14th, I had Raul's. Questionable quarterbacks, because Josh Allen and Ryan Tannehill. So-so wide receivers. We've talked about this draft a little bit. He has Devontae Parker, DK Metcalf, Tyler Boyd. It's just a weird setup, I think, for the quarterbacks. The offensive line's massive. It's got Mekhi Becton. It's got Quentin Nelson, Garrett Bradbury, Larry Warford. So I like those dudes. Nice D-line. I think Darius Leonard brings it all together as the linebacker in the middle, and I'm intrigued by the secondary. William Jackson, Jeremy Chinn, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Byron Murphy is the nickel, and then James Bradbury on the outside. I'm intrigued by this, but overall, it just was not one of my favorite rosters.
Yeah, Rahul, I had as a tier three roster for me.
Out of how many? How many tiers are there?
Out of four tiers.
Okay.
Balanced. Don't trust Allen. We have a lot of time before we get to a good competing spot here.
Luke's draft is next at number 13 for me. Deshaun, I feel like he's got to carry the team. This is the team that he had, I think, the fourth overall pick, and he took Deshaun Watson. He's got Deshaun, Josh Jacobs at running back, Kenny Golladay, and Cortland Sutton, as well as Eric Ebron as his receiving options. I just feel like Deshaun's got to carry this team, and so I'm not super in on it. D-line's insane. D-line's got J.J. Watt, Grady Jarrett, Javon Hargrave, and DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, that's wild. They got Deion Jones and Corey Littleton behind him, and then they've got Xavier Howard, A.J. Boye. Ooh, and then Eddie Jackson, Landon Collins as the safeties. I like this draft. I did. I just feel like Deshaun's got to do too much on the offensive side.
It's a bad take, Trev.
Which part?
Yeah, this is one of my top. This is a tier two roster for me. This is a good team.
Okay.
Why? Listen. Why? J.J. Watt, Grady Jarrett, Javon Hargrave.
I said it's insane. I said the D-line's insane.
Best defensive line, front starting four, period, that we've got. Uche, Deion Jones, Corey Littleton. Rotating Uche down on the line. A little five-man pressure,
okay,
which I know he's a rookie. We don't trust him, whatever. Xavier Howard, A.J. Bouye, Nickel Roby Coleman, Eddie Jackson, Landon Collins. Defense is yoked. All three levels. It's We're fine. Deion Jones, Corey Littleton. Come on. This is a great defense. Yes. Is the offense the best? No. You're underrating Kenny Golladay and Cortland Sutton as a wide receiver duo, though, because unless you're playing split field, I'm getting one-on-one coverage with one of those guys, and they're nasty son of guns on the outside.
It's fair. It's fair.
Yeah. So I've got enough for Watson to push the ball down the field, generate some vertical passing plays, and then this defense filthy. I like Luke's draft a lot.
Nick is 12 for me. I have young but talented wide receivers. He's got DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, Mike Williams, and KJ Hamler. Those are his four wide receivers. Not a big fan of the offensive line. Isaiah Wynn, Graham Glasgow, Matt Hennessy, Zach Martin, Brian O'Neill. I mean, like, there's some names that are intriguing there, but just overall, not a fan of the unit coming together, especially right away. D-line, again, just like Luke's team, nasty. Yannick Ngakoue, Aaron Donald, Derek Brown, Trey Flowers, and then he's got speed at linebacker, man. Dre Greenlaw, Jalen Smith, Kenneth Murray. Whew. And then the secondary. I think I like the secondary. I was going back and forth about it, but Bradley Roby, Buda Baker, Jesse Bates III, Ashton Davis, and then Marlon Humphrey is the shutdown corner.
And this was a bottom tier roster for me. I'm not as bullish on the defense. The linebackers really concern me, and I think he went really young at safety when you don't have to go young at safety. Safety's a spot with, I think, a lot of really quality veteran players. I think Davis is going to be good. I think Bates is good. I think Baker is good, but I think there were better options available to them. And then offensively, I've got Zach Martin as a top five, top 10 player at his position. And then besides that, I've got nobody really hang my hat on. So I'm worried about the lack of star power there.
Masher draft was an odd one to me. I thought his offensive line is stout. He's got Tyron Smith, Joel Bitonio, Alex Mack, David DeCastro, and Marcus Cannon. But then Minshew's his starting quarterback, J.K. Dobbins is starting running back, and then Justin Jefferson, Van Jefferson, Michael Gallup, and Keenan Allen. Those are the wide receivers. He's got Deontay Johnson in the slot as well. I'm not a big fan of this one. I'm not. I think he's a strong O-line, and then he's the one who's got the athletic linebackers. He's got Rashawn Evans, Devin White, and Willie Gay Jr. But then Shaq Barrett, Nick Bosa on the edges. I like that, but it's just there are players that I like in this draft. It didn't all come together the way that I thought it would.
This, for me, would have been a tier two draft if not for Minshew and Locke being the quarterbacks. And that's the thing is, like, you had such good picks because you took quarterbacks in the last pick. And that's why it's good. It's a bit of a double-edged sword there. There's a lot to really like, I think, at all three levels. I think the offensive line is really, really good. I like the way he built the wide receiver room as well. It's young, but it's really talented. If I believed more in the developmental prospects of Minshew and Locke, maybe you're getting into tier two for me. But like, tier two has got Deshaun and Dak. That's not what we're dealing with Minshew and Locke, so I can't put you up there.
Owens 10 for me. He's running that tight end offense. He's got David Njoku as his flex, and then he's got Hunter Henry as his starting tight end, and then Deebo Samuel, I think, is going to be the emphasized wide receiver on the outside, although Robert Woods, big shout-out Robert Woods. He is the team that took Matthew Stafford at quarterback, and then he's got Justin Herbert right behind him. Running back room, Kyle Juszczyk, Le'Veon Bell, Devin Singletary, and Raheem Mostert. I mean, like, that's a solid backfield. I mean, I know the return on investment for running backs isn't that great, but that's pretty solid as well as they could come. D-line, I have my note is you can't teach girth because he's got Vita Vea at the one tech. He's going to have A.J. Epinesa, who I'm assuming he's going to throw on an extra like 20 pounds, put him in three tech. Then Joey Bosa and Myles Garrett. I mean, that's pretty nasty. He's got K.J. Wright, Fred Warner, and C.J. Mosley after that. Secondary is a little suspect, but they got Patrick Peterson, Jordan Poirier. They got Kendall Fuller, so, I mean, like, they're all right, but that's probably the strengths of that team.
Wait.
What?
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Robert Saleh is this team's defensive coordinator.
Right, which is extremely fun. Owen, for me, it's a bottom-tier draft, and the thing is, like, I get what we were trying to do with Kevin Stefanski's offensive coordinator. I don't think we got it. I've got an offensive line in Trey Turner and Shaq Mason, Orlando Brown, that I think is not well suited to zone. I think it's a lot better suited to power. I've got David Njoku and Hunter Henry as my starting tight ends. I do not see plus blocking ability there. And then I've got Le'Veon Bell as my running back. He of the patient running style when, and Stefanski, wide zone, get outside, go, push, right? Obviously, you're going to read behind the line, you're going to make cuts, but I need you to be an urgent style running, one cut and go, and Bell tends to dance. The offense has got talent. I don't think it's well matched to the coach, and that's why I struggle with this roster.
Tyler is 9 for me. The first note is Russ, so big win there. Good trio of wide receivers for him in Tyler Lockett, Adam Thielen, and Denzel Mims. I like that trio for them. O-line is okay. Didn't love the O-line that he drafted. Linebackers are elite. It's got Leighton Vander Esch, Jaylen Brown. Well, I guess I can't even say elite compared to some of the other linebacker groups that are in this draft, but Leighton Vander Esch, Jaylen Brown, and Isaiah Simmons are his three linebackers. And then very strong secondary group, which is Denzel Ward, Darius Slay, Chauncey Garner-Johnson, Devin McCourty, and Jamal Adams.
Tier two, this is a good team, Trev. Yeah. This team's ready to compete. And we're not elite, nor are we super well suited for the future. I have concerns on the defensive line. We're putting a lot of hope in Dante Fowler and Javon Kinlaw to really make a high impact. Chubb obviously had that one really strong stretch, but since then it's been quiet. So my pass rush is concerning. My coverage is delightful. I really like the safety approach here. McCourty, Adams, Garner, Johnson's how you should do it. Ward and Slay is one of the best corner duos that we saw here. Offensively, listen, it's a familiar offense to Russ. The offensive line's got issues on it. It's got young, unproven players. The wide receiver room is great, but if you ask me to identify a dominant wide receiver one constantly against press, Thielen and Lockett, I'm not positive. So it's a tier two team for me. They're ready to compete, but they're just not among my elite, my top three teams.
Justin is number 8 for me. Unreal pairing at edge. It's got Danielle Hunter and Chase Young, although drafting Chase Young at number 7 is a little crazy. Box, I think, is crazy good overall. They've got Kenny Clark, John Allen in the middle of that defensive line, as well as Quan Alexander, Tremaine Edmonds, and Kyle Van Noy. We touched on that a little bit before. Wide receiver group, I thought, is very good. It's got CeeDee Lamb. He's got Stephon Diggs. And then A.J. Brown is his slot player. Not a big Sam Darnold guy myself. So Sam Darnold is his QB. I'm not so sure about it. Secondary, I thought, was really versatile. It's got Jamel Dean on the outside, Byron Jones on the outside. John Johnson is the strong safety, Nasir Adderley, free safety, and then Desmond King as the nickelback. And so I thought this was a solid roster overall, even though I'm not really big on Sam Darnold or the offensive line overall.
Darnold keeps this from being a tier one roster for me. And again, that's the tough reality of waiting and drafting Darnold late, which is what Justin was able to successfully do. The offensive line is I think one of my favorite drafts because you do retain some youth, but it's a really solid starting group. Wide receiver, they went super young. There's a lot of volatility there, especially with a quarterback like Darnold. This defense is really exciting. I'm worried about Jamel Dean. Dean's not necessarily my guy. If we took out Darnold and put in... Yeah, I know. If we put out Darnold and were able to put in a tier one or a tier two quarterback, I really think I could have talked myself into this being a tier one offense. I just don't trust a quarterback. That's the problem. Draft Carson Wentz next time.
Huddle's offensive line is so young. Huddle is my number 7 overall one, but his offensive line is hilariously young. Andrew Thomas, Juwan Taylor, Cody Ford, James Daniels, Elgton Jenkins. The oldest guy is Elgton Jenkins, and he's 24. The other ones are 21, 22, 22, and 23. I think he's got a very precise wide receiver group. This is the one with Baker Mayfield at quarterback, Joe Mixon at running back, and then Lincoln Riley's the head coach. Amari Cooper at wide receiver, Terry McLaurin, Brandon Cooks, and Aaron Jones. These are all the players. I think these are precise players for Baker Mayfield. And then on the defensive side, I like how it's shaped up. He's got some star-studded guys. Marshawn Lattimore and Jaire Alexander, we talked about them. Those are the two outside corner players. And then DeForest Buckner, Leonard Williams, Jerry Tillery, Davion Clowney, those are the guys on the defensive line. So I thought this was a pretty solid roster, even though it is a young one.
Yeah, it's as I said, we talked about Huddle earlier. He's the top guy of my tier three, which is my young teams trying to go compete in a few years. I can't put him anywhere else. His team's super young. It's super unproven. A lot of development needed. A lot of fun names.
Yep. Paul is number 6. Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins with Dak Prescott. I think that that's a super nice core of a passing game to start off with. I don't love the offensive line. But the defensive line is very stout. Von Miller, Ryan Kerrigan, Harold Landry III, Cam Hayward, Marcel Darius, Dexter Lawrence. Whew, man, like that is a strong defensive line. Balanced and aggressive secondary when I look at the secondary here. Shaquille Griffin, Ronald Darby, Tyrann Mathieu, Christian Fulton, Jason McCourty, Damone Arnett is a reserve guy, and then Juan Thornhill is all the way at the top. And as well as they got Devin Bush Jr. in the middle. I'm a big fan of this one. I like this roster overall.
Yeah, Christian Fulton and Kareem Jackson as well in the secondary. I really like the way the secondary is built. I agree. I think we're put in a nice position here with this is the Vic Fangio, Chris Richard confusing team, but if we're going Richard, we're in a good spot to play some long cover three. Really, really strong roster we've got for Paul. Paul is a tier two roster for me. My main concern is offensive line. Ereck Flowers, Chris Lindstrom, Ryan Kelly, Braden Smith. It's not super proven guys.
Didn't love it.
And that's the thing is like that's the only spot right now where I'm concerned with this team. The defensive backfield is great. Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, Dallas Goedert, Cooper Kupp, Mother Mary, John Brown. Like this should be a tier one team.
What year
really
is Mother Mary?
Be.
Is she a third year pro? Or
Mother Mary, third year pro.
Okay.
I had no idea. Harold Landry was a third. And actually for that, Paul's gonna be a tier one team. No, he's tier two. Trev, you have 5 teams left, correct?
Yes.
I have all 3 of my tier one teams we have not talked about yet. So my top 3 are definitely in your top 5. How
okay.
about that?
All right, there we go. Didn't even plan this at all. Matt is number 5. Let me tell you, this offense is unmatched. Okay. Aaron Rodgers, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, Juju Smith-Schuster, and the offensive line is Lane Johnson, Ronnie Stanley, Brandon Scherff, Brandon Linder, and Brandon Brooks. He's got the 3 Brandons on the interior. This offense is insane, man. And it's head coached by Eric Bieniemy, and then offense coordinator is Greg Roman. Defensive side of the ball, I think you're just betting on age and you're hoping that things kind of come together. Cleland Farrell and Tack McKinley are the edges. Eddie Goldman, Ed Oliver in the middle. You got Roquan Smith in the middle, right behind him is the mic, but then Ben already went over Malik Hooker, Jabril Peppers, like the athleticism there at least. But then Adoree Jackson, Kerryon Conley, Chidobe Awuzie, Mike Hughes, and Sidney Jones. I mean, like, that's the defense is just, you're kind of betting on it coming together, but my God, no one's going to outscore you, so it almost doesn't matter.
It does. This is a tier four team. This is a bottom tier. This is a team.
Out of here. What?
The defense bad, Trev. This is
where, I know it's bad, but defense doesn't matter. Did you watch the Chiefs last year or what?
The defense ain't good, Trev.
Man. Well, I guess, look, listen, I guess the number five in my top five happened to be the lowest one left, so.
Right, and that is a nice thing to think of. The concern here is defensively, I have Adoree. I love Adoree. I'm not even sure Adoree can handle
quarter
ones.
Do you adore Adoree?
Oh, I hate this podcast. Adoree's good. I'm not sure I have anybody who can cover wide receiver twos or wide receiver threes. The team's built to run the football with the strength of the offensive line. I mean, like Rodgers with Julio and Green, I mean, yeah, they're going to have incredible passing games, and then in 3 years, it's going to be Jared Goff and not Rodgers. And all of a sudden, the strength of that offense is gone, and the defense is not in a position. You know, it's got some good young guys, but it's not in a position to develop quality players. I got Derek Nnadi, Leonard Floyd on this team. Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, I was not able to get past the defense looking at this squad.
Jack is my number four overall. I think the defense is awesome. He's got Stephon Tuitt, Dalvin Tomlinson, and Akeem Hicks as a odd front, and then Chandler Jones, Bobby Wagner, Eric Kendricks, and TJ Watt as the linebackers of the 3-4 defense. I think that's pretty insane. Burrow's got a lot of options around him. He's got Jerry Jeudy, he's got Marvin Jones, he's got Evan Engram, he's got Michael Thomas. But I think that what's important here is remembering that this team has Sean McVay as its head coach, and that's a big reason also why I have him at number four, because getting to pair Burrow with McVay and those precise receivers like Jerry Jeudy, like I think Evan Engram can be as a tight end, and then obviously a full-time bell cow in Ezekiel Elliott and Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield. I mean, I think this is a really strong draft.
This is a tier three team for me, and much like I couldn't get the Darnold team into tier one, I just can't get this Burrow team into a higher tier for me, even with some of the older players on the roster, and even with the positive, like you said, I think the defense is really nicely put together by Jack. I've got a rookie quarterback. I've got a rookie quarterback behind a young offensive line, Corey Linsley, Robert Hunt. I'm not sure how I'm getting good offense out of this team early relative to the offenses we're going to have on other squads as a result of this, you know, 16-team draft in a 32-team league. I can't in good conscience get a rookie quarterback higher than this. That's just what I really struggle with. I don't want to just base a ranking off of one pick, but that Burrow pick early really hurts me in terms of ranking this team. And then, yeah, I mean, like TJ Watt, Chandler Jones, Justin Simmons, Logan Ryan is great. Steven Nelson and CJ Henderson is the outside corners, though. That's where I start to get worried.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, that's why it's number four. Zach D is my number three team.
So wait, Trevor, just wait. I don't want to spoil it for everything. Obviously, like these people don't know the name, so it's fine. Mm-hmm. Zach D, Michael, and Zach are your last three teams remaining, correct?
Correct.
Those are my three top tier one teams. We have the exact same top three.
That's
congratulations to those three.
Okay,
man.
There
that's
you go.
Awesome
so
drafting.
Zach D, this is the draft that had Patrick Mahomes at number one, but not only does he have Patrick Mahomes, he's got Christian McCaffrey at running back, which is obviously the most valuable running back in the league because of what he can do in the passing game. Then he's got DeAndre Swift backing him up there. And at receiver, we got Michael Pittman Jr. And I said the worst name first because he's also got T.Y. Hilton in the slot and then Mike Evans playing the X.
Yeah,
that's
like
a
that.
Crazy good offense there. He's also got David Bakhtiari at left tackle, Ali Marpet at left guard, Frank Ragnow at center, Natani Moody at right guard, and then Rob Havenstein at right tackle. Oh, by the way, he tops it all off with Zach Hurts at tight end. This offense is crazy good, and that's why he's number three for me.
I look at this team for Zach D. I've got strengths at offensive line. I've got strengths at wide receiver. I've got strengths at quarterback. I've got strengths at running backs. I've got strength at tight end. In my neutral column, I have nothing, and in my bad column, I just have age in all caps. It's a super old defensive line and defensive back. Cam Jordan, Geno Atkins, Justin Houston, Linval Joseph.
Defense
was the best.
Fine,
it was the best defensive line in the league in 2012.
Right.
That's not good. Great. I love it. Now, is it perfect? No. You know, Joe Hayden, Stephon Gilmore, Mike Hilton. It's not. It's an old defense. I'm willing to look over it. They're ready to win now.
Yeah, he's still got studs on the defense, though, right? I mean, like Cam Jordan, yeah. Demario Davis, Stephon Gilmore, Justin Reed. I mean, like these dudes are good.
They're it's not necessarily built for long term competitiveness. I think if Zach D's team meets Huddle's team in 5 years, it's probably 4 years, 3 years, it's a level playing field. Right now, Zach D's team would run through them. And this offensive line, the offense as a whole is really well constructed. Defense has got a lot of vet players. You know, like I talked about earlier, they're going to be contributors for you. They're proven in the league. Zach D's team is really freaking good.
Zach's team is number two for me. So he comes in second place, yep. But man, it's an awesome team. He's got Drew Brees at quarterback. He's got Lynn Bowden at running back, which I think is a little bit cheating.
That's
in the
a
rules.
Strong running back don't matter move.
But
and I respect it.
Again, you know, like this is the move that I said at the beginning of the podcast. I was a big fan of Devontae Adams, Chris Godwin, Curtis Samuel, and George Kittle in this offense with Drew Brees. He's got Brian Bulaga, Anthony Costanzo at the tackle positions, and then on defense, Snacks Harrison, Calais Campbell, Brandon Graham, Everson Griffin, Levante David, and then at cornerback, man, he's got Casey Hayward, Richard Sherman, and Chris Harris Jr. bringing it all together with Earl Thomas and Malcolm Jenkins as the safeties. And I have to admit, I have to say this because it is the capstone of why this is a number two draft for me. Kyler Murray is the backup to Drew Brees. So if Drew Brees has 1 year left, Kyler Murray takes over the next year after learning behind Drew Brees. If
Drew Brees has
2 years
left.
Dude, shut up. You're dumb. You're dumb.
Wow, that really got there under your skin a little bit.
Drew Brees, I love this draft.
Yeah, and that's my thing is like if you're definitely getting a really good starter out of Kyler and Drew as the quarterback room. We can agree on that regardless of who it is. Drew's obviously a humongous and tremendous teaching lesson for Kyler, who managing the pocket, distributing the ball quickly, some of his greatest weaknesses are some of Brees' greatest strengths. Murray, such a delightful. Myler Curry. Such a delightful talent. I mean, and that's what gets you really excited for the long term. Chris Godwin, Devontae Adams, it's not as sexy as Julio Jones and AJ Green. It's as good. And that's the reality. And it's as good and it's younger. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't you, it's easy to look over that pairing. That to me is the most exciting wide receiver pairing we've got, period. Those are two of the best three level threats in the league. Yep. One on the outside in Adams, one from the slot in Godwin, but both can play in either spot. Curtis Samuel behind them. You know what I mean? Sure. Why not? Larry Fitzgerald. And again, like that's like the Drew Brees pick. He snagged them super late. Guess what? Fitz is starting this year, and he's going to be really freaking good. Defensively, firstly, he has Calais Campbell down for the Calais Campbell role, which is the funniest
right.
thing I've
he
ever
has
seen.
That as the position.
You can't change
the
position,
Campbell
so he's going to continue playing Calais Campbell. Easy. It's not dissimilar to where we were with Zach D, Brandon Graham, Everson Griffin, Levante David, Richard Sherman, Chris Harris Jr., Malcolm Jenkins, Earl Thomas. This is an old, old defense, but it's ready to compete for Super Bowl this year. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really exciting. So, yeah, I love it. But it's even more so than Zach D, it is oriented well for the future, in my opinion.
Yep. Michael, number one. It has to be number one. That coaching staff alone getting Bill Belichick, Cliff Kingsbury, Brian Flores on the same coaching staff to coach a team that has Lamar Jackson at quarterback, Cam Newton as his backup, Derrick Henry and Kareem Hunt as the running backs. Well, also big shout-out A.J. Dillon for the jumbo packages. Henry Ruggs, Will Fuller, John Ross, Hollywood Brown, Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski. That's who he's throwing it to. You got a very young offensive line, but then when you flip sides, Khalil Mack, Quinnen Williams, Deron Payne, Brian Burns, Maurice Hurst, Vic Beasley, and then in the secondary, it's Jeff Okuda. And basically the best of the Patriots, as well as throwing Antoine Winfield Jr. in there. This is the best draft without a doubt. Michael killed it from head coach all the way to the very last player on the roster that he drafted. This one was awesome. And in terms of the first ever Fan Friday announced draft, Michael, you're the king, man.
Yeah, come get your crown, man. We talked about this in the opener. Say it here again. Is the offensive line perfect? No. Is corner one concerned? Yeah. Is this team going to score 48 points a game? Yes. And if we keep it pretty simple, man. Zach D, and Michael, my three favorite drafts. I don't know who's winning a Super Bowl this year. I don't know who's winning a Super Bowl in 5 years, but those are some good freaking football teams. Really impressive stuff, showing good understanding of how to go about this exercise.
As somebody who does a million fantasy football drafts a year and somebody who lived his whole life off of Madden fantasy drafts every single year the game came out, this was such a fun exercise to go over and watch you guys do. And look, it doesn't just have to be these 16 dudes who are involved in it. I'm sure they're going to do it again. I'm sure they're going to fire it up and just restart it and even get more people in it. And you can get in on it too. If you're a TDN Premium member, you have access to the TDN Premium Slack. They already have a live draft channel where they're doing all kinds of stuff. These are great dudes. They're super inviting. They'd love to get you into an exercise like this. I'd love to see a full 32 get built with 32 different premium Slack members, because it was a ton of fun for even Ben and I to not do the show. We were geeking out in the channel with them as they were building the teams and as everything kind of came to fruition. And so big shout out to you guys for starting that movement. I know it's not going to be the last draft. If you want to get in on it too, join the TDN Premium Slack, become a TDN Premium member. That was a lot of fun. I had a big shout out to all those guys. And for everybody who's not in the Premium Slack, I'm sorry if you feel totally lost on this episode, but we have an article out on TDN.com right now where you can see the Google Sheet where all the results were there. You can go and judge the rosters yourself, take notes, see who went where, and prepare yourself to get in on the next draft, the next time that they end up doing something like that. That's it for this Fan Friday. Ben and I already have a very exciting Mock Draft Monday for you starting early next week. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.